Psalms 23, I'll begin in verse 1. You follow along, I shall read out loud. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Verse 6 is what we're going to be looking at this week and next week. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the last time I taught was back in the end of October, and I was in verse 2. And it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. Now, notice that word picture there. We'll talk about that in a second. And then in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So you kind of see a pattern there. Now, when we come to Psalms 23, the key to understanding Psalms 23 is found right there in verse number 1. Hang on a second. There we go. I was at the gas station the other day, and someone said, hey, I like your tie. And then he said, I wish I could wear ties. And I said, I wish I didn't have to wear a tie. These things always feel like they're strangling you. Okay? Like a hangman's noose around your neck all the time. But anyways, the key to understanding Psalm 23 is found right there in verse 1, the first 5 words, the Lord is my shepherd. And the rest of the psalm is building on that truth. The Lord is my shepherd. So when we come to Psalms 23, the thing to understand is this. Everything in this psalm is based on whether or not the Lord is our shepherd. All these things he's talking about. A lot of times people like to take the Bible, they like to claim all these verses, the promise of the blessing, but they forget about the principle needed for obedience. See, almost every promise of God has a corresponding principle. So the promise is, and we'll talk about this in a second again, the promise is conditional upon the principle. And so if we want to have the blessing of Psalms 23, we've got to start the beginning where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if that be true, then the rest of the psalm can be true in your life as well. So when we look at Psalms 23, the focus then is on the shepherd's position in the life of the sheep. So this is a little bit by way of review. Let me just be clear about this. You can be his sheep. You can be a saved person. And now he may be your shepherd, just like he's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your God, because that's who he is. But as far as practical living, he's not your shepherd. You're not following him. You can be a saved person and not be following the Lord. Did you know that? Have you ever met a saved person who's not following the Lord? I've met. They're called backslidden, carnal people. And that doesn't mean they're not saved. They're not obedient. They're not following the Lord as they should be. So when we come to Psalms 23, the focus is on the shepherd's position in the life of the sheep. Now I want you to notice the word picture, because this is essential to understand where we're going to go this morning. Notice the word picture here. Look at chapter 23. Look at verse 2. Sorry, Psalms 23, verse 2. He says, the second half of that verse, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Look at verse 3. And it says, about in the middle of the verse, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Look down to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we come to verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So there's a word picture going on here in these verses. Now, let me explain, because this becomes the premise that the rest of the lesson is based on. When we think about life, physical life, spiritual life, when we think about life, you can describe it many ways, but we're going to describe it this way this morning. Life is a journey. Your physical life journey began the day you were born. Your spiritual life journey began the day you were what? Born again. Okay, so you began on a journey physically on the day of your birth, spiritually on the day of your new birth. Now, this picture of a journey is important to help us understand a truth that we find in Psalms 23. The idea of a journey means that you're going down, we'll just put it this way, you're going down a path. There's things ahead of you, there's things behind you. You're on this journey. You got that picture in your mind? Okay, you're walking down this path. Now, based on that, let me give you about five lessons that can help us here from Psalms 23. Now, watch number one, okay? This is a deep one. Ready? Number one is this. That which follows comes after. Ooh, you never knew that, did you? Boy. That which follows, so here you're on this path, okay, you're walking. If it's following you, in relation to you, where is it at? After you. It's behind you, right? So if it's following you, it's not in front of you. It's behind you. Now you say, well, duh. Well, I know, duh to you too, and I understand that. But there's a reason we're saying this. Notice, go back to verse number 2. Notice what he says. He leadeth me. So who's in front? Jesus. Who's following Jesus? We are. So if I'm following him, am I in front of him? I'm coming, what? Behind or after him. Now look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. So that means, where's my blessing? In front of me? It's behind me. It's following me. I'm going somewhere, and the blessing is following me as I'm going. Now, watch this. We're going to apply it both ways through point 1 and point 2. Ready? Here's the first thing we're going to look at it. We are not following Jesus unless he's in front leading the way. Everyone, almost everyone wants to go, oh yeah, I'm following Jesus. Yeah, he's my shepherd. Let me tell you, if he's not in front of you, he's not your shepherd. Not every believer can claim that they're following Jesus, because not every believer has Jesus in front of them leading the way. So you cannot claim to follow Jesus and live then the way you want to live. If I'm deciding my path, if I'm saying, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to go that way, here's how I'm going to live, here's how what I'm going to watch, here's what I'm going to listen to, here's how I'm going to dress, here's where I'm going to go, here's how I'm going to have friends, here's how I'm going to party, here's how things I'm not going to do, I am going to do. If I'm making all the decisions, he's not leading me. He's not my shepherd. He's not in front of me. The idea that he's our shepherd, he is leading us in this path, this journey, and we're following behind him. I mean, following Jesus means that Jesus is leading the way. Following Jesus means, watch this, that Jesus comes first. Now, I think for many of us, this just is second nature, but for some people, this is really just a point of contention with them. If you're going to follow him, the Lord comes first in all things. That means he comes before your family. Now, I know for some people, that's just like, I'm poking hot daggers in your eyeballs. But the truth is, if I'm going to truly follow, it doesn't mean you can't love your family. It doesn't mean you can't have time with your family. But it means this: if I have to choose between Jesus and my family, guess who I'm supposed to choose? Jesus. He comes first. He's leading the way. He's in front of me. I'm following him. So Jesus leads the way. Jesus comes first. He's before my family. He's before my job. He's before my paycheck. He's before my hobbies. He's before my bowling league. He's before whatever. He's first in my life. Doesn't mean you can't have these things, but who are you following? Who's leading you? Following Jesus means that he gets final say in my life. So if I'm truly following him, I'm coming after him. He's in front of me. I'm behind him. He's leading the way. Now here's the second thing. This is what I want you to really think about. Same idea, but think about it this way. God's blessings follow after our obedience. They're after our obedience. Now there's two things about that I want you to consider. First thing is this. God's blessings are conditional. A lot of people get hung up on this. If the Lord is not your shepherd, then goodness and mercy is not surely following you. You understand that? If I'm not following the Lord, I can't claim that I got blessings following me. So these are conditional. If the Lord is my shepherd, if he's leading me, then I can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? Because he's in front of me and the blessings are following after me. That's the pattern the Lord has given us. Now, I want you to think about this statement. Some want the reward of the blessing without doing the work of obedience. And obedience is work. Most of the time, at least 51% of the time, most of the time, the right way is the hard way. And the wrong way is the easy way. Some people don't do right because it's hard. It is hard to do right. We live in a sin-cursed world among sin-filled people. And most of the things in the world is tilted and slanted to doing wrong. They make it easy to do wrong because that's what everyone's doing and they want you to be a part of it. And when you pull against it, now you're going against the crowd, you're going against the grain as it were, and that's the hard thing. And so there's a work of obedience. But if I do not do the work of obedience, I will never receive the reward of the blessing. And so if I want the blessing to follow me, then I need to be in the path of obedience. If I'm not in the path of obedience, the blessing is not going to be following me. Then here's the other thing I want you to understand. Not only are God's blessings conditional, but think about this. God's blessings are guaranteed. Go back to verse 6. Notice what he says. Surely. The Lord is saying, for sure, this is it. Surely, blessings will follow you if you're following the Lord. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you will surely have God's blessing. Now, there's an Old Testament promise about this as well. In Deuteronomy 28, I want you to understand again this word picture. It's important to understand. In Deuteronomy 28, notice what the Bible says. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now look at verse 2. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. It's like you're going down the path and the blessings are coming behind you and eventually catching up with you. See the word picture there? The blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, what the Lord is saying is this, that God's blessings follow after our obedience. Now listen, but sometimes way after. The obedience of today doesn't necessarily result in blessings. They could, but it's not saying you obey today, you get blessed today. The Lord is saying that if you will follow me, the blessings of God are going to follow after you. Now, it may not be, you may not receive or realize all of God's blessings till heaven in some cases. Let me put it this way. Here's my perception. Okay, I'm just telling you, it's my perception of my life. Much of the blessings I enjoy today are based on obedience many years ago. Sometimes obedience back when I was a teenager and made some decisions for the Lord. Some of the blessings I'm receiving today, it took 20, 30 years to catch up. But they did catch up. That's what the Lord is saying. They will follow after you. Doesn't mean it's going to be immediately after you. You may be obeying today in order to receive the blessings 10 years from now. But if you don't obey today, guess what? 10 years from now, there's not going to be blessings there. And so that's what the Lord is saying. You're investing into the obedience, trusting that these blessings are coming after. So God's blessings are conditional and God's blessings are guaranteed. So the key to receiving God's blessings is a long life of obedience. Can I tell you I'm going to say what I think. The reason many of us, I'm talking about us, generally speaking, born-again people, the reason many of us do not receive God's blessing is because we quit way too soon. We quit in obedience. Because we say, well, I didn't get blessed today. But keep on, keep on, keep on. The blessings are surely to follow. It's a promise of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's the promise of God. Now, I want you to think about this verse. Proverbs 28, verse 20 says this. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. There's many applications of that verse. One is this. The blessings are following the faithfulness, sometimes over a long period of time. So if you want blessings, you've got to be faithful. Long life of obedience. We had a teacher at college who used to make this statement. Really, I thought it was a very powerful statement. He used to say this. God does not bless individual acts of obedience. He blesses a lifestyle of surrender. I think that's a great statement. See, we want to do this and do this, almost like we're trying to negotiate with the Lord. Okay, Lord, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this, but I expect you to do this in my life. And that's not the game the Lord plays. The idea is we surrender ourselves to the Lord. We follow the Lord. We obey and we give Him our life. I just surrender. And over a long period of time, I'll see the blessings of God then to follow after. Now, with that thought in mind, point number three, or lesson number three, becomes very important. Number three is this. By faith, we follow our shepherd, and by faith, we believe goodness and mercy will follow us. That we do these things by faith. People say, well, how do I know? If I live for the Lord for 10 years, how do I know the blessings will follow? Because God made a promise. We believe His Word. Psalms 27 says this. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had, now watch this, believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Now notice what it did not say. He did not say, I had fainted unless I had, or I had seen. No matter what, I'm going to kill the English here. I had fainted unless I had saw, we'll just change the word saw, the goodness of the Lord. He didn't say that. He says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. What David is saying here is this. I would have quit. I could not have made it unless I believed what the Lord said. And I would see the blessings, the goodness of the Lord. I believed this and it motivated me, kept me going in my Christian life. Now, we're going to spend a few moments here because I try to get to this point quickly. Because if you were to ask me, one of the great struggles in our Christian life, okay, we don't live for a long period of time obeying the Lord and so we miss His blessings. And I think the reason we don't live a long period of obedience is because we struggle with this word. Ready? Faith. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. I've heard a lot of messages on faith. And I tend, when I listen to people talk about faith, okay, now I'm going to be a little unkind here. They tend to have a charismatic view of faith. Let me tell you what charismatic view is. Charismatic view is name it, claim it. Okay, I believe God's going to give me a new car. I believe God's going to give me a new house. I believe God's going to give me a new job. Now, you can do that. You can believe it all you want to, but that's not faith. That's hoping. That's wishing. And it may come true. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but it's not biblical faith. People say, I just have faith that God's going to give me this car. No, you don't. Because there's no promise in this Bible that promises you a new car. And faith cannot be faith unless it's founded on God's Word. Okay, faith is trusting what the Lord has said, what the Lord has promised. That's why it's biblical faith. Faith is grounded in God's Word, not in our dreams, not in our wishes, not in our hopes, not in our fears. Faith is grounded in God's Word. So why do I believe that goodness will follow me? Because God has promised it. I have faith in what God has said. Not faith in what things I imagine, not faith in things I hope for, but God has made a promise. What did He promise me? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. So I'm going to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe what You said. I'm trusting what You said. I'm going to let You be my shepherd. I'm going to follow You, and I believe that goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? He's made a promise. Now, true Bible faith, is faith in what the Bible says, not in what we hope will happen. Okay? God is not a genie in a lamp. Okay? I don't go like this. Oh Lord, I'm hoping You give me a new car. Oh Lord, that's not how we live the Christian life. Here's how we live the Christian life. We go to the Word of God, we find the promises of God, we claim those promises by putting in practice the principles that underline those promises. For example, do I want goodness and mercy to follow me? Yes. What principle am I supposed to follow? The Lord is my what? Now, if you will not let the Lord be your shepherd, you cannot claim the promise of mercy and goodness following you. Okay? The faith that we trust in His Word is because there's... let me explain it this way. Faith is this. I believe what God has said. So I'm going to do what He said because I believe He's going to do what He said. What the Lord has promised. So I'm going to, by faith, follow the Lord's commands because I believe the Lord will keep His promise. That's biblical faith. I'm trusting what the Lord has said. That's where my faith is. Faith is always in the Word of God. I am to believe I will receive goodness and mercy. Why? Because I've made Jesus my shepherd based on what the Word of God said. Now, I'm not believing I'm going to receive goodness and mercy simply because God loves me. God can love me, and God does love me, but that doesn't guarantee me goodness and mercy. Okay, I'm not believing I'm going to receive goodness and mercy just because I'm a good person or just because I want it. I believe it because God has made a promise. If the Lord is my shepherd, then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So let me give you this statement just to try to drive home the point. Faith not grounded in God's Word is not biblical faith. I cannot stress that point enough. A lot of people have been disappointed. I've met a lot of people disappointed in the Lord. Well, I believe the Lord would do this, and I trusted the Lord, and I prayed, and I knew the Lord was going to do it, and the Lord never came through. Let me tell you what your disappointment is in. Yourself. Because the Lord never made the promise to you. If the Lord didn't promise it, let's say if I go to Brother Choma and say, now Brother Choma, I'm believing now that you're going to buy me a new car. I never said that. Well, I just believe you are. Well, you know, God bless you. Keep believing that. Now, that's sometimes how we use that against the Lord. Like somehow, just because I claim it and believe it, now the Lord has to do it. Let me tell you what the Lord has to do. He has to keep His word. God cannot lie. And whatever promise God has made, God will keep. And how we claim those promises by putting in practice the principles that underline those promises. So faith that's not grounded in God's Word is not biblical faith. It doesn't mean you can't launch out and try to do some things for the Lord and hope and trust the Lord maybe He'll meet some needs, but that's not the same as biblical faith, claiming His promises that He has given us as His people. Let's move quickly to number 4. When we think about goodness and mercy, we got to clarify it. So number 4 is this. God's goodness means more than simply good things. Now, that's a part of it. I'm not saying that God doesn't give us good things, but it's more than that. Okay, much more than that. We tend to make God's goodness only about good things that occur in our life. And that's shortchanging the Lord. We tend to equate God's goodness solely with our circumstance. And the truth of the matter is, God is good regardless of any particular event or circumstance occurring at that moment in your life. God's goodness is based on His character, not my circumstance. Now, when we think of His goodness, I want you to think about this. God's goodness sometimes is the allowing of bad things into our life. I'll give you an easy illustration. Sometimes the Lord delays you. Let's say you're trying to get somewhere and you're in a hurry to get there and everything just seems to work against you and you end up leaving late. Sometimes the Lord, even though that is a frustrating thing, maybe the Lord is protecting you from some car accident down the road. You don't know that, do you? You don't know what the Lord is doing. So sometimes the bad thing is actually a good thing. I was talking to a fellow once, and he was talking about a sickness. I think it was cancer he had. And he's talking about how through this sickness, again, I believe it was cancer, how he drew close to the Lord. How the Lord really became real in his life. How he saw the Lord meeting needs and how he really began reading the Bible and learned so many things from the Bible and saw answers of prayer and was able to witness to people. And he made this statement. He said, cancer is the best thing that ever happened in my life. Now, no one starting out says, God, give me cancer. But on the other side, as he went through it, he said, you know what, this was a blessing. Because it showed God's goodness. He did some really good things in my life. And so what I'm saying is, God's goodness is not simply determined by a particular good moment or a good day or a good event or a good circumstance or some good present we get. Now, it might be good for us. Somewhere along the line, maybe to just get out a sheet of paper and kind of, you know, draw a line down the middle and then draw a line this way and put goodness on one side and mercy on the other, and list God's goodness and God's mercy. And we think about His goodness. Goodness, in essence, is this. What God gives us that we don't deserve. What are some of the things God gives us that we don't deserve? How about this? Life. You know, however old you are, there's people who died before that age. God has given you this many years of life. You might want more, but He's given you up to this point in time. There's others who have been maybe love the Lord as much, or maybe love the Lord more than you. Maybe they were really on fire Christians. And you know, I think of people we graduated with. I think it was Mitchell Benton. You know what I'm talking about? He was missionary. Graduated about the same time we did. Was down in Mexico, I think. Drowned. Who went out to save someone who was drowning, or something, got drowned himself. Here's a guy, missionary. Another missionary, we had, back in Warren, when we were in Warren, there, a missionary family came to our church, and about 6 months later, they're back on the field, and he got ran over by a drunk driver. Now, the Lord has given you life. And you say, goodness, life, that's part of God's goodness. Family, that's part of God's goodness. Friends, part of God's goodness. All these things we look at, the Lord's good to us, things we don't necessarily deserve, but the Lord gives to us. Shelter and job and food, all these things. How about mercy? Mercy is what God doesn't give us that we deserve. Can you think of something that God does not give us that we deserve? Hell. Now, that pretty much covers the list right there. But we can mention other things. Judgment, even after we're saved, God doesn't, our judgment for our sin is on Jesus Christ. Even as a born-again person, I'm not being judged for my sin, not as far as an unsaved person would be. Maybe chastened, but I'm not judged. The Lord is judged for my sin. Okay? I never have to face rejection, even though I deserve it. I never have to face eternal death, even though I deserve it. And so we think about the goodness and the mercy. So God's goodness means more than simply good things. Let me give you the last lesson, number 5. And that is this. God expects each day that we are following our shepherd. And I see I didn't underline the word, but I probably from your list you can figure that out. Each day, there's the word. God expects each day that we are following our shepherd. Go back with me. It's been our last 5 minutes or so on this point probably. Look at verse 6. Interesting thought on this verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the, what's the next word? Days of my life. Notice how the Lord numbers. Okay? God numbers our life by our days. I think that's an interesting concept. He numbers our life by our days. And we don't necessarily look at it that way. Okay? Most people don't come and say, I'm 3,543 days old. Okay, that's not how we talk. That's not that old. That's only like 10 years or something. And anyways, but we say I'm 51, right? We talk about years. The Lord talks about days, because every day is a gift of God. And every day expects us to follow Him. Watch this verse, very famous verse, Psalm 90, verse 10 and verse 12. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. In other words, there's an end to this life. And look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. You've got to think about each day. There's another interesting statement for us. The outcome of our years will be determined by how we follow our shepherd each day. Think about that. The outcome of my years is going to be determined how I follow the Lord each day of my life. Let me put it this way. If you take care of the years will take care of themselves. If I focus on today, what's going to happen in 10 years? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen in 10 years? I don't know. But if I live for the Lord today, if today the Lord is my shepherd, then I'm trusting these blessings are going to follow after, and somewhere down the road, I'm going to enjoy these blessings. Okay? Take care of the days. Years will take care of themselves. Now, let's switch gears just for a little bit. The blessings of God, now think about this statement, the blessings of God will never follow us if we're always waiting till tomorrow to follow the shepherd. A lot of people say, well, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to start reading my Bible. Tomorrow I'm going to start praying. Tomorrow I'm going to get on fire. Tomorrow I'm going to witness. Tomorrow, and you're never going to receive the blessings. Because it's today. Today is the day. Very famous verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. verse number 1 and 2 says this, "We then as workers together with them beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Look at verse 2. "For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Well, that's true for unsaved people, right? If you're unsaved, what day should you get saved? Today. Today is the day, right, to get saved. Now, if you're a saved person, a child of God, which day should you serve God? Today. Today's the accepted day. And so we say, we serve Him today. We look for Him today. We pray today. We read our Bibles today. We praise Him today. We try to witness today. So today is the day. It means this, if you do not follow, now listen, let's say it a little slow. If you do not follow your shepherd today, then you will not follow him. You'll never follow him unless you follow him today. Say, well, no, really, Pastor White, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Number one, do you know you got tomorrow? You may be dead tomorrow. Today may be the only day you got. And watch this, when Monday comes, that's tomorrow, when Monday comes, then it's going to be today again. Right? And most people who serve God tomorrow, every day they say the same thing, tomorrow. Monday comes, tomorrow. Tuesday comes, tomorrow. Wednesday comes, tomorrow never comes. Today is the day you have. So you serve Him today. That's what He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Every day we ought to be following the Lord so these blessings follow us. Now, let's get to the conclusion. As we journey down this path of life, there's something ahead of us. There's something behind us. That which is behind us is based on that which is ahead of us. Got it? There's something ahead of me. There's something behind me. Now, what's behind me? Well, it determines what's ahead of you. But if you tell me what's ahead of you, I'll tell you what's behind you. So if the Lord is ahead of us, then we trust that the blessings are behind us and will catch up with us. So if you look at your life and say, you know what, the Lord is my shepherd. Can I tell you what's falling behind you? God's goodness and mercy. Now, what if the Lord's not in front of us? Okay, if the Lord is not ahead of you, now as a child of God, if the Lord is not ahead of you, then God's chastening is behind you and will catch up with you. You're not going to get away with it. If the Lord is not your shepherd, surely His goodness and mercy is not following you, but there is something else following you. It's called God's chastening upon His children for disobedience.